Salt for pride, mustard seed for lies, barley for curses. There are grapes too, laid red and bursting across the pinewood coffin. One grape split with a ruby seed, poking through the skin like a sliver through flesh. There's crow's meat, stewed with plums, and a homemade loaf, small and shaped like a bobbin. Why a loaf in such a shape, I think? And why so small? There are other foods too, but not many. My mother had few sins. She was a fox, running from the scent of trouble with wary eyes and soft feet, tussling only when she was sure she'd win. The salt, mustard seeds, and barley grains are the only foods I know the sins for. They're for childhood sins, the kind parents chasten you with, or children sing rhymes for in the street. Little Jack Horner sat in the corner, eating a winter pie. He ate all its meat for being a cheat, and said, "Now a good boy am I." The sin eater comes next, hefting her belly into the front room, where the coffin sits, boards fresh and blunt from the saw, the nails placed but not sunk. She smells of wild onions already begun to sprout despite a full month until May Day. I feel ashamed at my small truckle bed in the corner, our house not fine enough for me to have a room of my own. The sin eater gruffs for a seat and Bessie, our neighbour, brings her a stool. It disappears so completely under her skirts, I imagine her great buttocks swallowing it whole. A burp of laughter escapes my lips and I clap my hands across my mouth. Bessie takes me to the window. "You're not to look," she whispers in my ear. She pushes on, hearing my intake of breath, readying for words, knowing I'm my mother's own little gabby goose. The sin eater walks among us, unseen, unheard, she says. "But I can see her," I hiss. "Unseen, unheard," she silences. I've heard sin eaters have branded tongues, but this one hasn't opened her mouth. Bessie speaks again. "Sins of our flesh become sins of hers through the eating, praise be. Your mother will fly right up to the heavens, May. Not a sin left to weigh her down." I go back and take my place next to my dad. His face looks like sheets dropped off at the door for washing, hung with wrinkles that won't shake out. "I'll wash your face," I whisper. "I'll hang it on the line." Dad gives me the look he always does when I say something that doesn't seem right. His face widens open as if I've just told him good news. "What are we ever going to do with you?" Grapes, red and bursting. A loaf shaped like a bobbin. Crow's meat. They stick in my mind like porridge in the gullet.